This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey everybody, happy Thanksgiving in advance. Sabres home tonight for the Minnesota Wild. Bills, of course, back to work, gearing up for the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday Night Football. On Wednesdays, when we have a game week, and well, most Wednesdays, we check in with Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, to chat about the upcoming matchup, and we'll do that here. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy. How are you, sir?
I'm all right. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours in advance.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Definitely my favorite holiday, by the way. I think it's, I mean, what's better than food, friends, family, football
yeah.
attitude? I mean, come on.
Me too. Me too. We opened the show. I said this is also the day of the year where some sports person says something like turkey's not good, and turns out Joe's like one of those guys.
No, I didn't go all the way there.
He's not into turkey.
I just said I don't put as much on my plate as other people probably do. What's your number one side dish, though, Joe? That's what I want to know.
Man, my wife makes some really good Brussels sprouts with like prosciutto and like a maple glaze. Yeah, I'm in on that.
Nice, very nice. Well, as we prepare for Bills Niners, we get news today on injuries, and it could be that Matt Milano is back. We all probably expect him to be back soon. Maybe it's this week, maybe it's next week that they actually activate him to the active roster. But Joe, let's start there. This defense has been pretty good. When you watch, have you started to at any point picture what it would be like with a healthy Milano in there? Because we've not seen Milano and Bernard together too much since we've figured out that Terrell Bernard is pretty darn good too.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that happen. We got a very, very small tease of that last year. And, I mean, early in the season, the Bills' defense was really strong. They were limiting teams. I think it was under 14 points per game in those four games without Milano, and I think they wind up having something like 11 takeaways. So it looked really good, and it was, you know, Terrell Bernard's real first taste of action. And so, yeah, I'm pretty excited for what this can be. Obviously, Milano is a bit of a wild card because he hasn't played a football game in over 400 days. So we'll see what that looks like. But I think the Bills can kind of leverage the development of Dorian Williams to make sure you can have the right plan to bring back Milano if that needs to be kind of a platoon situation for a couple of weeks. But when Milano's ready to play every snap, he should play every snap. And, you know, we listened to Bobby Babbage and Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean talk about the vision for the defense to have two matchup style linebackers and kind of move away from a traditional Mike like Tremaine Edmonds. And we're getting a chance to potentially finally see what that looks like for an extended period of time. And certainly at a really critical point in the season for the Bills. And I do think Milano can elevate the defense. I think people are forgetting this is like one of the premier playmaking linebackers in all of the NFL. So as exciting as Dorian Williams' glow up has been, he's been a really nice story. I mean, Milano is a dude on the defensive side of the football, and thinking about what he can mean in coverage and for the blitz schemes that the Bills run. And, you know, they've been more multiple with their back seven. Maybe they want to do some more three linebacker stuff. Maybe they want to do more dime stuff and drop a defensive lineman off the field, which he did a little bit against Kansas City. There's a lot on the menu here, and I think it's going to be fun to see it play out.
Is it that variability, the ability to kind of adapt to other teams, that is the most exciting for you? Because he is a playmaker, but, I mean, right now he'd be jumping into a defense that is turning the ball over, forcing fumbles, forcing turnovers. So, sure, you'd take more of that. Is it about adaptability?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think the Bills have had a really good path to playing three linebackers. I think with Dorian Williams, Milano, and Bernard, they finally do, so that's appealing. And then the dime package. I mean, the Bills are running dime 20% of the time. It's a big part of what their defense is. And I think you can get to it in some unique ways, and you can get to dime. And like I said, against Kansas City, they had some situations where they played three defensive linemen and had six defensive backs plus two linebackers. And they used one of the linebackers as kind of a rush player that has like a mere spy element to it. And both Milano and Bernard are very good blitzers, and I think they can help you in that capacity. Plus, yeah, something that might be overlooked in this Bills season so far is the Bills have given up the most yards and receptions to running backs this season. And certainly Milano's going to help you in that capacity as well.
Yeah. We were talking a little about their defense, Joe, and the totality of it, what Milano could mean to it. And I was surprised a little bit to see, I think it was Cody Alexander that tweeted out a chart yesterday of splits against man versus zone. And I was, not that I wouldn't have thought they were better at it, but the Bills by EPA were number one in the league this year so far against man coverage, or when they're running man coverage.
Yeah.
And I just wonder how different a defense in general this might be as a, compared to past Bills defenses, and whether Bobby Babich maybe has a big influence on that.
Yeah, it's a great question, Joe. I've been looking into this a lot myself, and the reality is the percentage of man coverage is pretty similar to last year. That's you took at the overall man coverage percentage when Sean McDermott called the defense versus Bobby Babich. Very, very similar. Just the results are better this year. And I think that comes from more stability with your cornerbacks. Outside corners, obviously the Bills dealt with a lot of injuries at the cornerback position. I think the emergence of Christian Benford, he's the type of guy that can lock horns with a guy like DeAndre Hopkins and really limit that production. So that's definitely a big deal. And I think, you know, from the safety position, they're just a little bit more rangy and less hunting big plays, and they just kind of get to their landmarks and play with consistency. And I think that's really unlocked things. And certainly I think that the timing of the calls has been a lot better too. I think Sean McDermott was a third down man coverage special where Bobby Babich kind of mixes it in a little bit more effectively. And I do think that this is on the up. So while the percentages year over year are very, very close, it's ramping up this year for the Bills, and it kind of peaked last game against Kansas City, where the Bills ran about 30% man coverage, which is a lot more than usual. So they're sprinkling it in a little bit more, and it's effective, and it's working, and I think it can only increase as things move on, and it's definitely a storyline to watch the rest of the way.
You know, Joe, talking about Benford, I think Bills fans are starting to catch on. He's not underrated anymore. He's starting to get the level of respect he deserves. And when the time comes for a contract extension, like I just pulled up SpotTrack's most recent corner signings, and you know, this market is $20 million plus if yeah. he's this good. Like when you know, I don't want to pin you down to an exact number.
Top, but it feels like he is that good, right? Like,
top yeah. five, top 10? Like, where would you comfortably put him in the league at the position?
Well, when it comes to the salary, I think you look at the deal that Amador Lenore just got from the 49ers, which winds up being like 5 years, $88 million. And Benford's a better player. And Lenore's really kind of an inside-outside player that mostly plays on the inside. And if he's getting, what is that, $17, $18 million a season, Benford's yeah. going to get more than that. So I think the number for Benford, I think, is around 20. And it's taken some time for the cornerback market to really have the jump. I think that 2017 class, which includes Marshon Lattimore, Trey White, Garyon Conley, Adoree Jackson, like some of those extensions maybe didn't go quite to plan due to some injuries. Even Marlon Humphrey's been really good, but he's also had a lot of injuries. And that was supposed to be the class that really pushed the market up. And then it didn't really happen after that. And so you've seen Surtain step in and yep. really push things up, and I think that'll continue. But there hasn't been like Sauce Gardner. He'll have a big. You would debate Sauce Gardner all day long, but he's going to push up the market. I think that you're starting to see a next wave of corners that are kind of pushing things up, and Benford's going to be part of that conversation. I don't think he's a top of the market guy, but I certainly think I'd start expecting $20 million per season and somewhere, you know, give or take a couple million on each side.
Not bad for him. You know, yeah. it's like a 200% raise. Like, jeez. I mean, it's just nuts because, you know, what he's making off a rookie contract there. Final thing, Joe, the matchup against the Niners, you know, Bills and Niners, we don't know who the quarterback will be for San Francisco. The Niners have a ton of injuries. They've been battling them all year, from Ayuk to McCaffrey to now Purdy, Bosa, Trent Williams. And, you know, they're a team that's, the injuries are one thing. They're just kind of, I don't know, it doesn't look like they have the juice this year.
Yeah, Javon Hargrave, another big one, to Hufanga. They're just, everyone's hurt. It's and that seems like it's the thing with the 49ers. Either everyone hurts and they have a down year, or they're reasonably healthy and they go to the Super Bowl, right? Like, that's the extreme of possibilities for this 49ers team. Obviously, a team that's a little bit on the ropes, but at 5-6, they're in last in the NFC West, but they're also a game out of first place. That NFC West is really, really tricky. So I don't know. I think a little bit about like the Bills last year as a team that was like 5-5, through 11 games last year, and then they go on the big run and finish 11-6, and to kind of wind up being the number two seed. And for, like, as weird as the conversations were about this time last year for the Bills, by the end of the season, it was like, oh yeah, they're the number two seed, and here we go. It's a normal year. Maybe the 49ers are that team, but maybe they just have too much in the way of injuries. But obviously, like I said, there, the NFC West is going to keep the door open for them. And they're potent. I think obviously the big thing is Purdy. Can he play? If he can, like, what's the limitations with his arm? You know, coming outside night game, December, snow in the forecast. Like, what does that look like for Brock Purdy? That doesn't feel like a good recipe. And it's certainly not a good recipe if they have to start Brandon Allen. You know, I think they got some questions there. So I think expectations are reasonably high for the Bills. But here's the thing about the 49ers. Their record's not very good. They're still top eight in the NFL in yards per pass, yards per run, defensive yards per pass, yards per run. Like, they're a decent football team. They can't be taken for granted. They have a lot of creativity with what they do offensively. But obviously, they're not healthy. There's too much attrition to this point, and you really just don't know what to expect out of this team on a weekly basis.
Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast and Locked On NFL Scouting podcast. Subscribe where you get your podcasts. Joe, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving, and enjoy the Brussels sprouts.
Thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, we'll talk next week. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills. Make sure you make it a part of your day, your weekly listens. Locked On Bills, Locked On NFL Scouting. Bills and Niners. I'm watching the Randy Moss Thanksgiving highlights when he went for 3 catches and 3 touchdowns and 163 yards against the Cowboys. You were probably...
I don't remember this, no.
2 years old.
Okay.
It was 1998.
Is this when Joe Buck got upset with a celebration that he did?
No, that was in Green Bay when he pretended to pull his pants down. Yeah. Pretended.
Yeah. Well, right, he didn't actually do it.
No. He pretended to moon the crowd.
3 catches. What is the all-time memorable Thanksgiving performance?
That's it. That's the one.
Other than, like, what comes to mind for me is Allen in Dallas. Right?
Yep.
That was kind of his, all right, I'm here moment to the league, I think. And that was before he was even, like, the elite Josh Allen. But he went to Dallas and dug a ball out of a pile of people and got a first down and ran a bunch and made it. Watch his highlights from that game. It wasn't just like the QB sneak. He was dealing. He was making some crazy good passes.
He had 231 passing but averaged 9.6 yards per attempt.
Yeah.
And so he threw for a score and ran for a score.
Yeah.
And the other touchdown would have been they got 2 touchdowns and a bunch of field goals. John Brown, 1 for 1 for a touchdown.
They threw one, right?
Yep.
I think Singletary.
Singletary, that's right. All right. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Sunday could bring snow. We'll check in with Pat Hammer to tell us what to maybe expect coming up at 8:05 here on WGR.